Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast with a special episode of the Club Edition where we're going to be talking about a classic retro movie. So for this episode, we are going to be talking about Sword and Stone, which was James' pick for something that he wanted to watch. And this one, I watched it again recently on Disney Plus, and because it was like, I've seen this movie a number of times, but I don't remember it. So I did watch it again. But what was the reason that you kind of, this was the one that jumped out to you that you wanted to talk about first?
Mostly because I hadn't seen it in a while. And I was like, I remember really enjoying this movie. And I just wanted to see it again. So I was like, you opened up the vote. I was like, Sword in the Stone. That's a good movie I haven't seen in a long time. Let's watch that.
Yeah. It was kind of one of those ones like, let's sort of watch it. Because I remember we were at, Disneyland Paris, and they got the stone, the sword. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there trying it, and my family were taking photographs and stuff, and you know, it wobbled a little bit, but it didn't move kind of thing. And it's that kind of thing, like, oh yeah, you know, because it's funny because like Merlin, I've been more associating with the Kingdom Hearts games because he's a main character in the Kingdom Hearts video games. But they never, Ward is never brought into it. He's just the Merlin, the magician seems to be brought up much more, and Madame Mim in like the villain stuff rather than the actual story.
Right. And even once you get outside Kingdom Hearts, going to Disney World, you do that Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, the little card game where you can hold up the AR card game. It's run by Merlin, but you never see, I don't think Madame Mim is even one of the villains in it. You don't see the kid at all. You might see the owl every once in a while, Archimedes. That's about it.
Yeah, it's an odd one. I mean, I thought, like, rewatching, it's like there was a couple of like key scenes. Obviously, you've got the ones where we got them changing into rabbits and turning into fish and fighting with Madame Mim. And I was like, these are all pretty cool. I mean, the whole story of them being like adopted. And I love in this one, what get me was the wizard making references to the future. It was like, obviously they're so far in the past now, but that kind of thing of, you know, him like mentioning like things from the future and stuff really made him feel like he had, you know, he was so much more special powered than I remembered.
Yeah. And it was kind of fun because a lot of people kind of associate Robin Williams and his genie with the first Disney character to be like, oh, he's talking about modern stuff. He's doing Arsenio Hall references. And like, well, actually you kind of go back to the 1960s and there's Merlin, maybe not doing Arsenio Hall, but you know, he's definitely referencing stuff that you would not talk about in an Arthur story.
Yeah. It just kind of was very cool. And the reaction from like the people, you know, is basically the owners of him, and you know, the fact that he was an orphan, and you know, he pulls the sword out and everyone doesn't believe him. And then he pulls it out again and everyone's like, and then suddenly he's the king. And I was like, okay.
To be fair, the entire legend of Sword of the Stone is a little shaky. I kind of always like the Monty Python interpretation of that. Like, you can't form a government on the basis of somebody handing out swords. Like, you know, that's probably the weakest point, but that's, of course, built into the actual story. You can't do Sword in the Stone without him becoming the king for pulling the sword out.
I mean, they're going to be doing a new live-action version. I think it is a Disney Plus original. So it's going to see where they go with this one. I always think it's like King Arthur's a classic British story. It's, you know, we've had so many retellings of this story over the years. And this one still stands out as being so different to anything else that come. And usually it's always about him becoming a king and, you know, the legacy and what's important. It's kind of like ends. Once he gets the sword, that's the end of it. You know, that's the end. You know, the rest of the story of Arthur and Merlin and all the rest of it is completely just left. It's just purely about the story of him getting the sword and being picked up as this random kid.
Right. And if you follow it, there's not even really a proper villain in it. Yes, there is Madame Mim and they have the whole wizard's duel, you know, transforming themselves, but she's not really the villain of the story. She's the villain to that little section.
Yeah.
But there's no villain. There's no huge conflict. Even his stepbrother and stepdad or however you want to think of them, they're a bit mean to him. His brother kind of taunts and teases him and abuses him a little bit, but even there, they're not like on the level of the stepsisters from Cinderella or anything like that. They're just kind of, you could actually honestly write off his stepbrother as kind of like just, he's the jerky older brother who's giving his brother a hard time.
I mean, he's not nowhere near like sort of like like, for example, like Harry Potter and his cousin.
And the Dursleys, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. You're like, oh, these are really nice and cute. But no, he's a ward and he's there to clean up and do stuff. And that, and you're going to think, well, this is like, you know, the Dark Ages. You know, that was a job. They were looked after him and that was it. It was just a strange little movie. That's all I could put it. I sort of got to the end and went, that's really weird. It's such a weird little movie.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's actually kind of like the more recent movie, Rogue One, where you get to the end of it and you're like, wait, that's the ending? Wait. They're all dead. Obviously, that doesn't happen in Sword of the Stone, but you're like, what? Rogue One, this is, where's the ending? And then, of course, you go, oh, we go on and watch A New Hope and see the rest of it. Of course, Sword in the Stone doesn't have a proper sequel, but the Arthurian legend is known well enough that I think most people can go, okay, and then he goes on and forms the round table and you know, the Green Knight shows up and all that.
Yeah, fighting Transformers and, you know, all of this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Optimus Prime. I mean, he has a couple cameos, obviously, so what do you expect?
Yeah. But no, it's just like, I think I've been watching like, was it The Age of Extinction and all those kind of, the last night. It's like, how have you managed to turn this into a connection with Arthur? But nevertheless, but it's like, I mean, it was funny because I was out with the family the other day and mother-in-law and my wife were talking about, because they loved Merlin, the series. And they were like, oh, it's a shame there's nothing like that anymore. And you know, they were like, we were watching that for years, week in, week out. So it's that kind of thing of, there's constant different versions of King Arthur, and the Disney version is just a very nice, I put it in that kind of thing of, oh yeah, that one exists. I've seen it loads and I've seen it a number of times, but rewatching it again was like, is this like almost like an underrated Disney movie?
It is a solid Disney movie. It's enjoyable. I love Archimedes the Owl. He's got that snark going on. Merlin's a lot of fun. Wart is a bit of a non-character, actually, considering he's the main character. You're like, he doesn't really do much. The whole Madame Mim fight is just a lot of fun. The thing is, when you get to the Sword in the Stone, it doesn't have an iconic moment. No. Even the pulling the sword from the stone isn't like, you get the same thing from the Sorcerer's Apprentice from Fantasia, and that's more of an iconic because now you've got Mickey doing it. And that's the thing for this doesn't have that moment, that Disney magic moment where people go, oh, that is the Sword in the Stone moment. And it also doesn't have songs. Now that's not uncommon for Disney movies of the time period. Most of them didn't have songs, but we kind of have gotten used to, oh, there's supposed to be some, there's supposed to be a villain song and an I want song, and this doesn't have those.
No, it's kind of like, I figure it didn't have all the usual cliche elements that you'd expect from a Disney movie from that period. They definitely went off and did something a little bit different, and I kind of like that. Kind of, again, it's that era, I think, where Disney was like, you know, like that 60s era was, you know, before the Jungle Book and all of that kind of things, and it was just a really well done movie. And I said, kind of gets lost in the shuffle. I think, you know, where, you know, I think again, Merlin stood out as the one character that's kind of carried on after the movies, especially in like pop culture kind of things. But like you said, nothing really, you know, when you're at the parks and stuff, like I said about the sword, that's it. There is no, you know, on the light show, on the night, you know, they don't use the characters at all.
No. And then I was just thinking, despite the fact that the Arthurian legend has princesses in it, it's got Guinevere, obviously, among others. There is no princess in this movie, which is another one of those Disney things that is so prevalent. And you're like, there's no Mulan, there's no Jasmine or Belle or whoever. That, in fact, other than Madame Mim, I don't think there are any women in this other than background characters.
Yeah, but there's not really that many characters either. There is only a few. But I think they do it very well. It's definitely worth checking out. This is, again, the benefits of Disney Plus, when you can kind of jump into one of the classic movies and just sort of see how that works. But yeah, it definitely was, it was kind of fun watching it back the other day. And it's not that long either. It was about 80 to 78. Those 60s movies were nowhere near as long as current movies.
It's a 79 minute runtime, keeping in mind that includes the credits. So we're probably looking at 70-ish minutes, give or take. It's just a really fun movie. It's one that's good for kids. You know, it's got good messages. There's just enough action in it to keep it entertaining there, but it mostly survives on the humor. It does get overshadowed by the movies that came right before and right after. It came after 101 Dalmatians and then Jungle Book, which is, of course, one of the bigger classics, came right after it. So it gets kind of lost in the shuffle. But it is good for a rainy afternoon, low-impact movie. And it's fun. I enjoyed it.
Definitely worth checking out. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on Sword and Stone. What do you think of the classic? Are you going to rewatch it? And what do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments below. Remember to go check us out over at whatsondisneyplus.com. You can like, follow, and subscribe on all the different video and audio platforms. And you can find us over on Twitter and Facebook. But on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us in the episode. We shall see you guys soon. Later.